I'm Paris. Paris Lee. The real one, not the fictional one you've been hearing about. I thought I'd take this opportunity to thank you for listening to my podcast, which is, of course, chapter by chapter, a book I've been writing for some time. To understand it better, I think it might be important that you not only know a little bit about Greek myth, especially the Trojan War, but Greek myth the way Helen sees it. I myself studied Greek myth in college, which is a lot of where I get the information from regarding the things Helen believes to be true. In fact, Greek myth was the first college class that the real Helen and I ever took together. So this is both a little bit of Greek myth the way I understand it, and a little bit of Greek myth the way I've decided Helen believes it to be true, which is what's really important. The thing about Greek myth is that it was told mostly orally over thousands of years, and then, as writing was developed in Greece, it began to be written down by different writers over time. Each writer took their own twist on the stories, and that means that each story was told differently over and over again to support whatever idea or moral that particular writer was trying to impress upon. What Helen believes is that the queen of Sparta was seduced by a swan who was actually Zeus in disguise. That means that she is the daughter of Zeus. Now, in Greek myth, Zeus only has one mortal daughter, Helen. But it's not his only daughter altogether. He also is the father of Persephone and Athena and several other of the goddesses and gods in the pantheon, which is why Persephone in the story keeps referring to Helen as little sister. She's literally meaning that this woman is her sister, not figuratively. This would also make Hades her brother-in-law or her uncle. It gets pretty confusing on that level. Now, when it comes to the Trojan War, Helen becomes very beautiful as she grows up, and legend of her beauty begins to spread through Greece, being part god kind of helps that along the way. At the time, before the war, Greece was broken up into city-states. Each city, like Athens and Sparta, were basically nations of their own. Each had its own king. Two of those kings were brothers, Menelaus, the king of Sparta, and his brother Agamemnon, king of Athens. Also to note that most of them were still related, cousins, uncles, you know, things like that. Helen, because of her beauty, was sought after by all the kings of Greece to be their wife. Now, Greek marriage tradition is a little strange. It's based mostly on a system of kidnapping. So it was a concern that no matter which king of Greece would marry Helen, that they wouldn't be able to keep her because one of the other kings would just kidnap her from them. The king of Ithaca, Odysseus, he worked up a plan, and he decided to trade that plan to Agamemnon, who was going to decide who marries Helen. Odysseus, though, didn't want to marry Helen. Odysseus wanted to marry Penelope. So he traded his plan to Agamemnon in order to be able to be allowed to marry Penelope and take her home to Ithaca with him. The plan was that all of the kings of Greece would sign a treaty saying that if anyone kidnapped Helen, the rest of them would give their armies to Agamemnon so that he could take her back by force from whichever king attempted to abduct her. Everyone agreed to this, and Odysseus was allowed to marry Penelope. On the other side of the Mediterranean Sea, a distance that at the time would seem more like an ocean, was the kingdom of Troy. It was not just one city. It was a series of cities up and down the coast of what is now basically Israel. The city of Troy, though, was the strongest and best defended city on that coast. It housed the army for the area and was considered impenetrable. It also had the duty of defending all the cities in the area. The king and queen of Troy had many children, but the youngest of which was a prince named Paris. Now, Paris has a bit of a backstory that Helen will explain later, So, no spoilers. I won't tell you that now. You could look it up if you want. But basically what happened is a small contest between the female gods led Aphrodite to make Paris a promise that Paris would eventually, somehow, marry the most beautiful woman in the world. Specifics were not given. So Paris decided that he would go visit her, since we all knew who she was and where she lived. Menelaus accepted Paris and his entourage as friends. They stayed for months in his palace in Sparta, until Menelaus' father died, and Menelaus had to go to the funeral, which was held in another city. Cities being, you know, basically other countries. So Menelaus had to leave and left Paris with Helen as his host. Now, it's said in the myth Aphrodite casted a spell on them. This is a sort of shorthand way of saying that they fell in love. It also explains that Paris kidnapped Helen. Helen doesn't believe this to be exactly correct. After all, kidnapping in Greece was synonymous at the time with marriage. It would be more appropriate to say that they eloped. But whatever you want, they went to Troy together. Menelaus was furious, but for some reason, not as furious as his brother Agamemnon, who had the right now to collect all of the armies of Greece in order to advance on Troy to take its lands and its people for his own. Along with controlling the armies of Greece, this would make him ruler of what was the known world at the time. And all that had to happen is somebody had to be stupid enough to kidnap Helen. Yes, I know. That was me. Agamemnon did have some trouble getting some of the kings to agree. Odysseus, for instance, was pretending to be mad so he didn't have to go to the war. And in the only instance of anyone ever outsmarting Odysseus, they proved he was not mad and made him go to the war anyways. They also found Achilles living as a woman in a coven of female priests. He also did not want to go. I like to suspect he just liked life better as a woman. I'm a little biased that way. The city of Troy was impossible to take. The walls, along with their armies, led by Paris's brother Hector, could keep the armies of Greece at bay for as long as they needed. The problem was they couldn't keep the armies of Greece from ransacking and destroying the other cities up and down the coast that they were supposed to be protecting. The war lasted 10 years, and the Greeks could not take the city of Troy. Odysseus came up with another plan, a plan infamous in military tactics. He built a giant wooden horse. He filled it full of Greek soldiers and then pretended to leave, leaving the horse as a gift for the Trojans, for having fought so honorably over the last 10 years. They fell for it. They took the horse into the city, and at night, the men came out and opened the gates and allowed the armies in beyond the great walls. The city was destroyed, Paris was killed, and Helen was taken back to Sparta. The rest of the Greeks went home, except for Odysseus, who tried to go home but could not. He had angered Poseidon, and Poseidon would not allow him to set foot back in Ithaca. He spent another 10 years, traveling a distance that should have taken only a month. That's another story, though. That is called the Odyssey. But that's why Helen keeps teasing him about being Odysseus and not being able to make it back home. The other people that are important to the myth that Helen realizes is Penthesilea. Penthesilea was the mythical Helen's bodyguard, an Amazon, said to be the queen of Amazons, who died in battle at the hands of Achilles. Achilles, having killed her, falls instantly in love with her after her death, and in what is probably one of the creepiest things that happens in this story, rapes her dead body. Sorry about that. But that's what happened. Why and what the writer was trying to say about this, I don't know. One of the other characters Helen will mention, without it really explaining who they are, is Polyxena. Polyxena was one of Paris's sisters, one of the princesses of Troy. During the war, she's kidnapped and taken to Achilles as a maid. He falls in love with her and decides he wants to marry her. But because she's one of the princesses of Troy, he actually chooses this moment to switch sides. So he's going to marry Polyxena and then join the war on the Trojan side in the last year. During the ceremony, he is killed. Now, different myths say different things, and at this point, Helen hasn't decided which is or isn't true. Some myths say that Apollo himself shot Achilles in the heel with an arrow. Other myths say Paris, with Apollo guiding his hand, shot Achilles in the heel with an arrow. Also, there's two Ajaxes. So that's important that there's two of them. Not really who they are. Helen will explain that later. That's the Trojan War, basically. At least as much as you'd need to know in order to understand the events of this story. There are some surprises, which I haven't mentioned yet, because they'd spoil future events in the story. And if you know enough about Greek myth, you might be able to guess at them, but then you'd have to know what version of the story Helen believes to be true in order to anticipate future events in the story. There are, however, other major Greek heroes that will be in this story that had nothing to do with the Trojan War, like Orpheus. Orpheus plays a major part in this story. He is the god of music. Well, not really the god of music, but he invented it and thus was favored by the gods. Orpheus' story, in a quick overview, is that he marries a woman named Eurysthe. Eurysthe, for many different reasons, over many different versions of her story, is killed. And after her death, Orpheus, so distraught, goes down to hell to try to get her back. An attempt that inevitably fails, but he does get to try. If you skipped ahead to chapter 12, you already know that he is part of this story and who he is. As an overview, I certainly encourage you to Wikipedia any strange name that Helen gives anybody, because some of this book is not yet written, and as I get there, I may change my mind and work in some new character that I didn't plan to. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Jason and the Argonauts are in there, too. It's certainly worth a look up. And Medea, who is one of my favorite stories in Greek myth, and I'm happy and think just powerful character in this novel. So enjoy, have fun, and if you have any comments, of course, you can email me at helenoftheironhorse@gmail.com. I am totally welcomed to any questions. I will answer them because I love answering questions. Check out my other work and my wife's artwork at edgeoftheworldart.com. So, thanks again. Talk to me anytime. Enjoy.